Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Appreciate that. Hour number two of the program, G-Bag Nation on a Black Friday, rolling along on a Black Friday. I'm Fred Davis filling in. That's the one, the only, the phenom himself, Mr. Blake Elliott, a little fan after dark. The boys have their Friday off, kicking in with fam, doing whatever it is they do on a Black Friday, a well-deserved day off, if we do say so ourselves. And so, hey, they gave us the call. We got bumped up. Normally, we're on from 7 to 11, which, hey, it would have been 7 to 11 tonight, by the way, because the Mythical High School show, over on Friday nights. Okay, over on Friday nights. And, by the way, looks like Southlake Carroll scored another touchdown.
A little blocked punt.
Okay.
That's not on Clay.
It's not about how you start, it's where you finish.
Nah,
okay.
It's not about how you start, it's how you finish.
Right.
And one team has been finishing really well. That would be the Texas Longhorns. They've got a huge matchup tomorrow against the Aggies. Battle of Texas, big brother versus little brother. And who better to talk to? They went out to the D&M Leasing Hotline of KVUE News, reporting all things UT Austin. Let's get on our boy, Corey Mose. Corey, happy Thanksgiving post. Hopefully you had a good Thanksgiving. What were your plans? How was it? And did you enjoy some football?
Hey, what's up, baby?
What's
yeah, everything was Gucci, bro. I came down to the H. Was able to visit some family. And, you know, I had the turkey and the dressing and the honey-baked ham. Now, I got to ask, though, big discussion in the press box at UT last week. Do you call it dressing or stuffing?
I'm a stuffing guy.
It depends on where you're from.
Okay, yeah, so I found out it's regional.
Absolutely.
I had no idea. I call it dressing. That's all I heard. So, yeah, so I found it out last Saturday. But, yeah, good times. Good times in the H, but ready for Saturday for sure.
Where are you at on because we had a back and forth with one of our producers about this. Where are you at on green bean casserole?
You know, I respect it.
Okay.
I respect it. You know, like, it had to grow on me. You know, I would say younger Corey wasn't really a fan, but now – you know, I kind of like the little green bean casserole with, on top. I think my aunt had like some, not onion rings.
Yeah,
but
yes. We know what you're talking about. Absolutely. A little crispy onion action going on.
Yeah,
100%.
I like a little crispy onion. It adds a little texture to it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah,
does.
If you got that on there, I'm a fan.
Well, there's been a lot of texture on this UT team. It's gone through some ups and downs as far as injuries, as far as how people perceive them. Quinn Ewers being at the top of that. First of all, how was Quinn's health? And is there any other injury updates we need to know about before this Aggie game tomorrow?
Now, the biggest thing, of course, like that mild ankle sprain that Quinn got right now. Now, the question is, how much has it healed? You know, because if you watched the end of that game last week, he looked hobbled, right? He was going off the field limping. He actually went to the medical tent at some point during the game. And so, you know, it came back. He got the whole MRI, mild ankle sprain. So how much can he move? That's the question, especially with the Texas A&M defensive line. That front four is pretty solid. I think they're 25th in the nation when it comes to causing pressure on the quarterback. And so you saw what happened when Quinn couldn't move against Georgia. And if they're able to get that same type of pressure, I think that should be the biggest worry for Texas. But other than that, though, not really big injury concerns, which is great at this part of the season. You don't really expect that this late in the year. And so with everyone being as healthy as they can be, you know, this late in the season, I think it is a benefit that Texas doesn't have any huge, huge, like, injury issues this late in the season.
How has Sark responded to, and look, I get it, it's the end of the year, and of course now we're jockeying for, you know, the who's going to be the 12th, 13th, 14th team in the college football playoff. If Texas handles their business, I think we all feel pretty good that they're going to solidify their spot. But it just seems that it's funny that now all of a sudden, you know, now that they're in the SEC, people are poking fun at their record. Well, it's just not a strong SEC this year. Mm-hmm. Like, look at it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the proverbial, you know, you can't win for losing. How has he responded to some of this quote-unquote alleged criticism of their SEC schedule this year?
Well, you know, he's been big on just handle what you can control what you control. You know, you're 10-1. What else is there to talk about? If you can just control your own destiny, what they do now, I mean, there is no discussion. You know, and he's big on, you know, not looking outside, not watching the polls or watching the playoff rankings, you know, because he knows that they control their own destiny. So as long as they continue to win, none of that stuff matters. But I will say this with that whole discussion. I'm on the side of, if Texas does lose on Saturday, I don't think they get into the playoff. Like, wow. I really do legit think that is a possibility, because if you look at the strength of schedule, they have not played anybody technically. Now, if I were to tell you at the beginning of the year, you know, you schedule Michigan, you schedule Oklahoma, you schedule Texas A&M, Georgia's on the record. I mean, on the schedule, not on the winning record, but you still scheduled them. Like, you wouldn't say that was a bad scheduling. FCS teams, you know, unlike Alabama, who likes to schedule Tennessee Tech in week 8. So, like, I just don't understand why this year has turned out this way. But, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles. You know, you may not have thought it was an easy schedule to begin the year, but it turned out that way. You play a Florida without DJ Lagway. A lot of people, you know, are going to say they kind of got lucky there. And so, yeah, that's why I think if they don't win on Saturday, they don't have a ranked win. And so then you have a team that has 2 losses at that point. Within those 2 losses came against ranked teams, and the only other ones you have is unranked teams. So who's to say that they have enough on their record books to get over like a Clemson or get over a – heck, man, even Texas A&M. Like, I could see Texas A&M getting that spot over Texas if they win on Saturday. So I think a lot is on the line, not just the SEC championship.
Speaking of Texas A&M, we're speaking of Corey Mose of KVUE, all things Texas Longhorns. Texas A&M 3-2 in their last 5, allowing just a little bit over 200 yards passing every game. This is kind of a revamped team than what we've known to be the Aggies in the last couple of years. What do you expect this environment to be like in Kyle Field now, maybe not feeling like the little brother, maybe feeling like they have a chance against a Texas team? What do you expect this environment to be and the players and the coaches to kind of get up for a game like this?
Oh, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be sick out there, dude. Because, you know, the last time they played was at Kyle Field. And the last time Texas was on that field, Justin Tucker shut out. You know, and so I think at the end of the day, I think everyone remembers that. You know, one of my best friends, he lives across the street. I was over at his crib last night, and his parents were at A&M. And, you know, they went to the bonfires back in the day. And you know, they're so excited for the rivalry to be renewed. And his mom told me that she cried in the living room when Justin Tucker made the kick. Like, I didn't realize how much they cared that much about this rivalry, you know. And so I think that's going to be reinvigorated. And of course, on the flip side, though, I think this Texas team – and I don't think I know. Like, this Texas team loves hostile environments. They love to be the 100,000 versus 70 type environments, right? They love to be hated. They love to be booed. They bring the boombox out. They cheer on the fans. You just saw them in Arkansas with all that whole rivalry renewed. They loved it. And I think those type of environments, they thrive in, because this culture here at Texas is so us against them type mentality. And they know they've been doubted even this year. But, of course, years past, everyone's always said they're going to Texas it up. At some point, the Longhorns are going to screw it up, and they're tired of hearing that. And so this group for UT, they love these hostile environments. So I think that's honestly better for them to not be at home like they were against Georgia, not to be favored like they were against Georgia. Like, I think that's where they fall flat. But when they are doubted, I think that's when they rise to the occasion. And so I'm excited to see how they respond to this type of hostile environment on Saturday.
Corey, I'd be remiss if I didn't read the text that just came in on our text line. WC said, wow, I'm hearing Blake and Mo's on the radio. Dub, appreciating what he's hearing.
WC, what's up? Thank you for listening, Brody. Hey, you know the vibe. Hey, Cowboys fan, too. Shout out Cowboys. Two straight.
Don't do that.
Look, it's a, yeah, no, they're excited. It's an exciting time in the Metroplex right now. Speaking of, and look, this is something that I think from a network perspective, I mean, they're frothing at the mouth for. You mentioned already that Ewers, again, a little gimpy, got the ankle, should be okay tomorrow. But to your point, and you already said, hey, if this team loses, there's a good chance that they'll get left out. And I think you're spot on with that. And I think most Longhorn fans, that's the last thing they want to hear. If this offense struggles tomorrow in the first, second quarter, will we see Arch Manning?
Oh, man, see, that's a tough question because I kid you not, against Georgia, I was in the press box, and one of the Georgia guys leans over. It's like second quarter, early second quarter. One of the Georgia guys leans over. He's like, hey, when's Arch going to get a shot? I'm like, there's no way Sark puts Arch out there unless it's 35-0 or unless it gets out of hand. You know, because Sark has been big on Quinn is our guy. Quinn is our guy. Quinn is QB1. Whoop-de-whoop. And so, to me, you have to ride with that. But the moment there was a little bit of, you know, shakiness with the offense against a hostile team, you see what happened. He put Arch in there. And so I look like a fool in the press box when I tell homies that, like, yeah, he's not going to make that move. So I really don't know how to answer that question because I don't know now. You know, could he show his card a little bit against Georgia? Like, he is willing to pull Quinn. And I didn't think he was willing to do that. And so it depends on, I think, how rocky it gets. But I just don't see A&M controlling the game that much where it gets to that point. I can see where both offenses are struggling, where it's a 6-0, 3-0 type game at halftime. But I just don't see it getting to a 2-3 score lead for A&M for Sark to have to be put in that situation again, because I just don't trust A&M's offense to put enough points on the board.
Corey, you talk about Quinn, and before the injury, he was rolling, even some people putting him in their early Heisman. Since the injury, has not been the same guy, whether it be because of an injury, confidence, whatever it may be. Do you think, watching this team detailed, he looks like the same guy? Do you think he's lost a step? Because we're looking ahead to the NFL draft, and evaluators looking deeper and deeper into the tape. What have you seen from Quinn over the last couple of weeks since the injury?
Well, I mean, I just think that – I actually talked about this on one of our shows last week. I think the expectations for Quinn needed to change when it comes to just the fan base watching him play, when it comes to expectations for even scouts watching him play. I look at a guy like Jared Goff, right, for the Detroit Lions. His completion percentage is so high. I think he leads the league right now. And the reason why, if you watch the games, he's throwing the intermediate to the short passes and letting his receivers and running backs cook. And that's exactly what Sark is trying to make Quinn do. Now, of course, the Texas fan base, they want to see the deep shots. They want to see the long balls. Like, you see, like, Jackson Dart, I'm watching him play right now against Mississippi State, that he loves to do that. But that's not the offense for Texas. And I think a lot of people got in his head of good college quarterbacks throw the deep shots. And I don't think that's true. And Sark actually mentioned a couple of weeks ago, and before he said it, he said, I hate to bring this guy's name up, but this is who I think is a great example of being underappreciated at the quarterback position. And he said, Mac Jones comes to mind when it comes to Quinn. He said, when he was at Alabama, I know exactly, but when you say the name, it's like, oh, Mac Jones. But if you look at Mac's numbers, he was phenomenal at Bama.
College Mac Jones, yes.
Yeah, college Mac Jones. He's talking about college Mac Jones. He said, cause, you know, Sark coached Mac Jones. And so he's like, whenever I had Mac, he got the ball out of his hands on time. He gave it to the receivers and Devontae Smith and let boys cook and look at his numbers. But people didn't consider him to be a top-tier quarterback. And he's like, I don't understand that because he's prolific in what he does. And that's what he wants Quinn to do. He wants Quinn to be short, intermediate passes, be prolific in that, and not worry about the deep shots. And so to answer your question, though, Blake, I do think there has been a difference when it comes to just a willingness to throw the deep shots. Over the last couple of games, you've seen him take more shots to just make the defense honest. A lot of these teams are playing three high safeties against Quinn just so they don't take those deep shots. But at the end of the day, you got to take them just to make sure the defense knows you will. But at the end of the day, like, I do think there is a difference with mobility, moving in the pocket. He wasn't great before the injury, and, of course, now he's worse. But it's all about his feet work, bro. His footwork is just all over the place at times. When he gets pressured in the pocket, you can just see it. And I think that's what you need to look for when it comes to these scouts and next level is when he gets pressured, how does he handle that? And he hasn't handled it well. So I think that's the next step for him. But it's been 3 years. So it's like, okay, when is it going to click or is this just Quinn Ewers? And I think at this point, I would say it's just Quinn Ewers, you know. And I just don't think with 3 years in this system, not enough progression at this point, that's worrisome to me. But if he gets enough protection, he could be a prolific quarterback. So
you're so he's going to be Josh Rosen in the NFL. Got it. Last thing for me. Last thing for me. Let's Corey Mills, KVUE, joining us here, talking all things UTA&M tomorrow. 30 seconds or less. I know we still got the big game tomorrow, so we'll kind of wait and see. I think we're kind of all, you know, affectionately in the UT corner. How would you overall grade this first year in the SEC for your Texas Longhorns?
Oh, I think it's an A. I mean, you're 10-1. I mean, what are we talking about here? Especially with, I would say this, when you look around the league, people have lost a team they shouldn't have lost to.
Yeah.
Alabama losing to Vanderbilt, you know, Ole Miss losing to I don't know who they lost to a couple weeks ago. They shouldn't have lost to them.
Florida.
Florida, right? Florida just beat them. And so I think when it comes to Texas, you have to acknowledge that they didn't lose to the teams that they're supposed to beat. Because all around the league, you've seen teams do that. And I think at the end of the day, your only loss is to Georgia at this point. You have to be happy about that and proud about that your first year in the SEC. And you have a chance to make it to the SEC championship and get your lick back against Georgia. So, yeah, definitely an A. I think they came into this conference knowing that they had the bodies, they had the size, they had the speed, they had the talent. And Sark has proven that he's able to coach at this level too. So, yeah, definitely an A.
Well, Corey, it is an A interview. We appreciate all the time that you're able to give to us on a Black Friday. We know you're busy with the fam, so I appreciate you coming on. And we are rooting for a Longhorns dub here on the GBAC Nation / Fan After Dark.
Yeah, me too. I'm trying to go to Atlanta, bro. I'm not going to lie.
Let's get Corey to Atlanta. There he goes. Appreciate Corey stepping on with us. And now on the GBAC Nation, we've got another banger segment coming up around the NFL. NFL Before Dark. Matt Eberflus is gone. How much is he getting paid to get fired? Find out next on the Fan Before Dark / GBAC Nation.
Appreciate that, Khaki Kev. Shout out once again to our guy, Corey Mose from KVUE. And a special shout out to the Tolo who called in immediately after the interview. He's a dye-in-the-wool Texas A&M Aggie and said he went from being a Tolo to what, a Nolo? Because he's upset because he feels that the coverage this week has been one-sided when it comes to the A&M and Texas coverage.
Sorry.
So
we can start fake rooting for the Aggies.
I mean, look, I think it's gonna be a good game tomorrow. But the deal is this. So while I can't speak to what other shows have done when it pertains to the A&M and UT,
and I actually know that's false because I listened to the KNC Masterpiece and two of them picked the Aggies.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, KNC, they're huge A&M guys.
Two of them picked the Aggies. So
okay, and Corey Mose is a close personal friend of yours.
Yes,
and friend of the program. So that's right. Why we had him on this Black Friday to discuss.
We don't know any A&M representation.
I mean, could we reach out if we really wanted to? I suppose, but yeah, again, it was one of them deals where today we're book solid.
Book solid.
Okay, we're book solid. Hey, if one of you A&M Aggies wants to text into the program.
Or maybe you're a reporter for the Aggies.
Yeah, no, but don't tell me, like, if you're some, you know, got my own podcast, do it 3 times a week. Go to gig'em.com, wherever you find your podcast. Mike Elko for life. I mean, let us know.
Do we have the Mike Elko audio while we're at it?
Let's play some Mike Elko audio.
I'm not looking ahead. Yeah, we cut A. I'm not looking ahead to Texas. I'm thinking about Auburn. Yeah, sure.
Auburn on the brain.
I think when you're in the situation we're in, it's easy to focus on the task at hand. You know, I think, those big games earlier in the year, you know, maybe you look ahead. If we didn't have at stake, what's at stake? Maybe you would worry about it. I think our focus is single-handedly on Texas. I mean, on Auburn.
Whoops.
And locked in on what we got to get done.
Whoops-a-daisy.
Yeah, overlooked the Auburn Tigers, and they beat you 43-41 in four overtimes.
Took that L in the overtimes. But look, we just want a good game tomorrow. Sorry.
I thought Kevin turned around.
Enough out of you, Fred.
I thought our boy got in the studio.
Kick him. We won't take any more of this. That being said, I know
Texas.
No? That's right. Whoops. Sorry about that. But now let's just, you know, let's call it what it is. Khaki Kev is a diehard UT fan.
Oh, it's exposed.
What happened?
No, what you just
said. I've only said it a million times.
So, you know, and the fact that he's the producer of the show today, leaning very heavy. Burnt orange.
Heavy orange.
It's my negative influence.
It's all Khaki. We like to call that Khaki Kev's inner dialogue influencing the show as it does from time to time. So, yeah, that's what's going on, man. That's what's going on. Hey, look, I just want a good game tomorrow.
After
my Jayhawks beat Baylor, then all eyes are on UT A&M tomorrow.
Same time of the game, or is Kansas earlier in the day?
No idea. I just know KU plays Baylor at 11 o'clock. Khaki Kev, all things UT. What time's that game tomorrow?
6:30.
Blake beat me too.
You got the whole day.
Got the whole day.
Okay, you got the whole day to get ready. Eat plenty of leftovers. Should we do top five? We still haven't figured that out yet. I would say top five leftovers. From Thanksgiving, but to me, after turkey sandwich, what else is there?
The heavy mac and cheese.
You know, I mean, I can only think of like two. And I don't want.
What's the worst after? What's not a good leftover? You would think it's just all right, but it's very bad the next time. Probably mashed potatoes.
Lumpy. That's probably mashed potatoes.
Yeah, just potatoes and well, don't reheat. If you've noticed.
See, I'm just not a fan anyway.
You're not a fan of the potato.
You're a gravy guy. How do you feel about post Thanksgiving gravy?
It's fine.
There is no post gravy. Gravy's, you can't.
Usually it's thrown
away. How do you
reheat
gravy? That takes like a whole
minute.
How
do you reheat it? I mean, you throw it in the microwave and hit start.
If you do gravy, like the top gets hot and the bottom gets cold, and then you got to stir it, and then you got to redo it, and then you got to stir it again. You got to redo it.
Gravy expert over here. The gravy connoisseur, the gravy granular.
So stirring is the issue for you when it comes to.
I don't think stirring is the issue. I think it's also the issue that, like, you got to, if you don't cover it, it's going to make a mess.
How did this turn into something?
I didn't know there was such
a
deep dive.
Am I wrong? Have I been doing reheating of gravy wrong my entire life?
Well, as somebody who doesn't like gravy to begin with, I mean, I could care less. I'm just curious as to how that goes.
Give us a little bit of a high school update, because I've been getting texts
great
left
question.
And right.
Great update.
I know for Hebron,
okay.
South Lake Carroll was in the red zone. Hebron was threatening to score. They held him to a field goal to make it 21-17 at half.
It's 21-17 halftime. Hebron down to South Lake Carroll. So that's okay. That's okay. We'll take that.
You'll take that at half.
Oh, down four? Yeah. 100%. 100%.
And apparently, South Lake Carroll's been scoring quick. They've been throwing the ball downfield, some head tops. I've got to text in.
What's the ESPN analytics on that win percentage?
Ooh, good call by you. I would say 62% right now. 62% South Lake Carroll winning this game.
Problem.
But that being said, we need a turnover. All right? Hebron Hawks, we need a turnover.
Clay, if you're playing us in the locker room right now, we need a turnover. We need a pick six. We need a DeMarion Overshown.
Something.
We need a fumble.
Something.
We need a rattle the quarterback's head.
Yes, we do.
Because we need that postgame call in the locker room.
Oh, we want that postgame call in the locker room big time. From the 585, leftover ham is the undisputed number one. Okay.
It's all right.
I mean, again, if you're not doing sandwiches, what are we talking about?
Now, do you reheat the ham or do you eat it cold? Because either way is fine to me.
Just depends on what you're eating it with. If you're doing sandwich, I think you go ahead and leave it cold. If you're recreating the meal, you got to warm it up.
So continue, Kev.
I was just going to say, it's kind of like leftover pizza, good cold, good hot. I think it's just personal preference.
That's fair.
We do have more blood in this Hebron South Lake Carroll game. Zach Wolchuk has texted into the program.
Uh-oh, what's Zach saying?
He said the South Lake Dragons are going to spank that Hawk tail in the second half.
Oof. Is he keeping up with the score?
I guess so.
Is he keeping up with the score? Because tell Zach if he's just diving in just for the sake of diving in and hasn't been. Is he invested or is he just here to talk smack?
I don't know.
Because I want to know.
We'll have to wait till he texts.
All right,
back.
Let's find out. Here we go. Alvarado versus Sulphur Springs. Who you got? I'm going with Sulphur Springs on that one.
Let's go Sulphur. I don't know anything about either team.
There you go. Yeah, we're going Sulphur Springs on this.
Cooler name.
By the way, I have a cousin from the 214. I have a cousin that's on the coaching staff at A&M. Okay.
Do we believe him?
A cousin is such a kind of a, I mean, I could see that. Yeah, and here's the thing. What's his position? What's he coaching?
Is he the assistant strength and conditioning coach? Exactly. Just make sure the Gatorades get out there, or?
Well, no, he's probably out there doing the early morning workouts. Ooh. If you're the assistant strength and conditioning coach. Yeah. You're doing all that. You're there early in the morning. You're there late at night. You're cleaning up the weight room, that sort of thing, handing out protein drinks.
Here's your bar. Here's your banana.
That's it. So from the 585, cold straight out the fridge, right into the ranch.
See, disgusting. Why would you ruin a Thanksgiving?
Wait, are we talking about pizza or ham?
We're talking about ham.
We're still talking about the ham.
You're ruining a Thanksgiving delicacy
known
as the ham, and you're messing it up with what somebody in the South somehow started with Hidden Valley or whoever started ranch. Yeah. They're all messed up. All of you Tolos love it, and you're all wrong. Why are you putting ham in ranch?
I've never heard of this before. This is terrible.
Okay, here we go from the 817. Throw the ham and turkey on a skillet and make some sliders with Hawaiian rolls. Now we're talking.
Okay, I've gotten another text from Woolchuck, an update.
Yeah, what's he got to say?
I'm going to read it verbatim.
I want to hear it verbatim.
Oh, Fred.
I love it.
You're new to the DFW high school sports scene, so I'll give you a break. I'm born and bred in this. Saw the script.
What does that have? And I'm not taking that away from him because I know he is a dye in the wool. See what I did there? You zoned out.
He's texting again.
Is it still going?
There's a lot of texts I'm getting right now. A lot of stuff on the phone. A lot of stuff going on.
We might have to. He might just need to call in.
I'm getting a lot of texts.
He said,
I went to Plano and we used to be in the district with Hebron. Oh, so now you're just dissing Hebron.
Oh, so now he's dissing Hebron is what he's doing.
That has nothing to do about it. Okay. So when Hebron wins, I want you to say,
that's exactly
Zach Woolchuck calling in, G-Bag Nation.
Yes.
We're filling in for him.
You're falling on the sword for the entire G-Bag Nation because we got Krusty coming up next.
Yeah.
So now you're taking shots. I mean, I didn't want to make this a show versus show type deal because if he said he went to South Lake Carroll, that's a different conversation.
Now you're
just poo-pooing on Hebron to be poo-pooing on him.
That he's seen the teams play. It's a new Hebron team. New D coordinators. New defensive back coaches.
How long has Woolchuck been out of high school? Okay, what's Woolchuck? Probably late 20s, early 30s? So he's been out of high school for a minute. This ain't your Zach Woolchuck's Hebron Hawks.
Yeah.
Okay? Let's get that
perfectly
straight.
Perfectly put.
Let's get perfectly that straight. Put. Okay?
Any other high school update scores that you want to give us that's going on around the nation?
But you know what? You know what we appreciate above all? Listening to the program. By the way, if you guys don't know, make sure you check out Zach Woolchuck every Monday through Friday, 2 to 7, and on the postgame. Yep. Halftime and postgame.
Sometimes
show.
Pregame too.
So a little pregame. He did pregame yesterday, sitting in for our boy Chiafalo. So
hey, it was quiet up there. We were the only ones talking.
I'll tell you what, in the second half. Second quarter, it was...
Everybody was trying to snooze.
That was rough. By the way, let's pay off the tease that we did at the beginning of the segment. Matt Eberflus gone. Fired. I think the fact that he said he was okay with the way they handled things, not that he wasn't going to get fired anyway, not that there was anything he could have said that was going to prevent him from getting fired, but you got the audio of that? All right, play that audio real quick of Matt Eberflus with arguably one of the more befuddling things ever said by a head coach after a befuddling end to a football game.
Yeah, I like what we did there. Again, once it's under 7, you know, you're gonna call timeout there, or actually under 12, and then really you don't have an option, because it's 3rd to 4th, you got to throw it into the end zone then. So to me, it's I think we handled it the right way. I do believe that you just re-rack the play, get it in bounce, and call timeout, and that's why we held it and didn't work out the way we wanted it to.
Thanks, Matt. We'll see you in the unemployment line. You figure probably what he's got another $10, $15 million coming to him. He'll be a D coordinator next year. Not bad if you're Matt Eberflus. All right, coming up next, what we like to do here on G-Bag Nation every day at 3:40, a little something they like to call Krusty's Corner with the one, the only, Mr. Brian Broaddus. We were in the press box with Mr. Broaddus and Mr. Woolchuck yesterday. His thoughts on last night's win. And, of course, we got to get his thoughts on the postgame spread as well as just overall Thanksgiving thoughts from Brian Broaddus. Lots to get to. Don't go anywhere. It's a G-Bag Nation with a little Fan After Dark sprinkled in.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates the holidays, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are we convinced he's dialing the right number? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back in. It is G-Bag on a Friday afternoon. All right, top five. That's going to go down at 4:40. Top five things to do on Black Friday. Get ready. Get ready.
It's also my boy Benny's birthday. Shout out to Benny.
Celebrate Benny's birthday. That's what he does.
Shout out Benjamin. So Benny. Good friend of the show.
That's it.
Tolo.
How old is he today? What a friend.
Dude, I don't keep up with anyone's ages.
Wow.
Let's go with 26.
Is he your age?
Let's go with 26.
Did you guys go to high school together or what?
No.
Okay.
Served together.
All right. That's fair.
Friends with us, Clay, that you met yesterday, Haley, all the same group.
Okay. And her, was that her sister that was like 3'2"?
Shout out Paige.
Paige, God bless you. I was like, are you tall enough to drink that drink? All right, real quick, we've got ourselves we good to go? All right, let's jump out to the D&M Leasing Hotline. Woo, 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 woo. Welcome to the program. It's his show. It's actually his show, all right, that he was gracious enough to let us host for a day. The one, the only. You find him on the pre, the post, the halftime, and just all over G-Bag Nation. Mr. Brian Broaddus. Double B, how we doing today? What are you doing on Black Friday?
I'll tell you what, boys, I was had to get the car inspected and then had to get an oil change at the same time. And I was a little nervous that I was going to be checking out right when you guys were going to call. So it actually worked out really good. The service department hit it just right. And here we are visiting with you guys. So, hey, thanks for hosting for us today. We really appreciate that.
Well, thanks for allowing us to do it real quick. Are you a every 5,000 miles? Where are you at when it comes to how often you get your oil changed?
Yeah, you know, I have 7 jobs so I can get synthetic oil is what I do. I don't go for the normal oil change. I go for the synthetic stuff, you
good
know, because a long time ago somebody said, yeah, you got to try the synthetic stuff. It works really, really well. And it kind of, you know, it's a little bit more pricey. But, you know, like I said, it's been good for me, knock on wood. Haven't had any problems with it yet. So, here we are. I'm the guy that, like, trust me, when that little, you know, that little sticky thing they put on your window, I'm paying attention. I glance up at that. I'm like, okay. Got 100 miles. Okay, got 50 miles. So I was pretty much on the dot to where I needed to be. So when it said to change, I went to go change.
Well, synthetic oil, the pricey stuff, that's what the Dallas Cowboys have been doing, getting some of their high-paid players back on the lineup. Micah Parsons back, making that defense look like a whole new defense.
Such a radio pro.
Making this defense
my man,
looking...
My man can cuss on the air and just be a radio pro at the same time. Fred, you've done wonders with this kid. Congratulations.
Hey, we're just doing the best with what God gave us, my friend.
There you go.
This defense has looked different than it has all year with Micah Parsons in there. Even Osa and Mozzie Smith making big splash plays. What have been your overall thoughts of the D-line? Do you think it's just poor offenses they're playing, or is this D-line actually playing better under Mike Zimmer?
You know, I think that, and you mentioned it, we were all sitting there watching the games. Matter of fact, we've been watching the last couple of games, you know, with Micah being back in the lineup. And there's just so many things that you can do with him. They also have found a way to use Overshown. You know, they figured out that, listen, hey, you can't let Donovan Wilson have to play a lot of coverage. Yep. Bring him down in the box. Let him rush. Let him blitz. You know, they've got some decent play, you know, from the cornerbacks. Having Bland back has been huge for them. You know, they've been rotating. Jordan Lewis has been outstanding really the whole year. One of your better defensive players overall. I mean, watching him play on the outside, and I was talking with Bobby Belt last night after the game. I don't remember the last time I saw, you know, Donovan Lewis play outside. Jordan Lewis play outside. You know, it was like Michigan is, you know, when the last time that I saw him play on the outside. So, yeah, it's they're really getting some quality play from some guys that, you know, throughout the season, it was just kind of a little bit of a struggle, and some of the young guys had to step up, and, you know, they're playing a lot better with those young guys now.
You know, this is where we defer to your expertise and knowledge on this. Terrence Steele has looked better the last 2 weeks, and I don't think it's a coincidence that you've had, whether it be Bass, whether it be
Hoffman
in on that right guard spot. I mean, look, Zach Martin, as we all know, has been battered all year long. Yeah. Do you think it's a coincidence that, hey, you've seen better play out of the right side of that line with Zach Martin out of the lineup, and you've seen a better Terrence Steele the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, Terrence Steele has played better, and you just have a healthier body at right guard.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, you had a guy that was dealing with the back, a shoulder, a couple of ankles. I mean, Zach Martin is, you know, the first thing you always say about Zach Martin is a Hall of Fame player. That's a Hall of Fame player. And, you know, but unfortunately, though, you know, Father Time is undefeated, as we always say. And that's what's happened. You know, and he's gone out there. He's tried to play. He's tried to play hurt. And, you know, sometimes, if you guys remember back, you know, there was a time when Ezekiel Elliott, he was playing with a bad knee and just kept playing and playing and playing. And ultimately it was like, you know, we can't take him out of the lineup. You know, he's not going to go out of the lineup. He, you know, and it ultimately hurt the team. And, you know, with Zach Martin, he just was not healthy enough to really, really help the team like they've needed him to do. And Hoffman and Steele did a really nice job with some of their combination blocks yesterday. You know, Hoffman's kind of a gritty battler of a guy, but yeah, it just helps when you have healthier players. And, you know, playing against the Commanders and playing against the Giants, that's defensive tackles, that's just not an easy task. And, you know, they were able to not get crushed in either of those games, you know, with Zach Martin being out of the lineup. But it really is about, with Steele and that right side, just a healthier right guard has really made a difference.
Brian, I want to ask you about the running game. There's only 7 running backs this year that are averaging at least 4.2 yards per carry and have a 55 success rate. One of those guys being Rico Dowdle, with the Derrick Henrys, the Bijans, the Saquons of the world. Do you think these last couple weeks of Rico being the lead back has showed to Jerry that, hey, Rico can be the lead back moving forward? Do you think they're still looking at a running back in the draft, or do you think this is just a product of a healthier O-line? How do you assess the running back situation now and in the future?
Yeah, I think that, you know, what's really been kind of neat has been the fact that, you know, five days apart, really, that Rico Dowdle, the success he had, that was a physical game, you know, against the Commanders, and then to come back 5 days later and, you know, run the ball the way he did against the Giants, I think that says a lot about the kid and the type of player he is. And, you know, everybody over there talked about his toughness and the willingness that he had to line up and, you know, you hand him the ball, he is going to get, you know, he's going to get positive yards. And, you know, that's, I don't think it's going to limit them from looking at a running back in the draft. Now, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that would love for them to, you know, say that the Boise kid, you know, with Jente being there, you know, I mean, how many games, where are you going to be in this, you know, where are you going to be in the drafting order? Will he be, you know, the way that the teams have not valued running backs in the past, you know, team building is always, you can't draft a first round running back.
you know, I haven't seen all the running backs. I'm, you know, working on the draft right now. But, you know, he's one of the best players I've seen in the country. I mean, and you start to talk about, you know, Hunter at Colorado and Genty. I mean, he is one of the best players in the country. And, you know, if you get the opportunity, do you take a guy like that and, you know, and just say, hey, in the first round, I don't want to make a mistake. You know, I want the safest player. You know, if you go get a guy like that and say he's a running back, well, you know, that make a lot of sense. To me, it would. To a lot of other people, it probably doesn't. But I don't think this will keep Dallas from drafting a running back. Now, will they maybe do it in the first round? You know, probably not. But the second, third rounds, I think that you can absolutely, you know, if the right one were to be on that board, I think they would take that guy.
Come on now. If Devin Neal's sitting there in the third round, that's a no-brainer, if I do say so myself.
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying?
That's that rock, chalk, Jayhawk.
Come on, you know the deal.
You know, vibe we're getting there.
You know the deal, Broadus.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's what I'm saying. This is going to be a draft where, and I, you know, people keep firing these names at me, and I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, sure, yeah. You know, and you're like, so I haven't, you know, you're gonna have a good, there was a really good group of running backs last year. Hell, we saw the kid Tracy from the Giants. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a legitimate running back, you know, and that kid was picked in the fifth round. So, yeah, you know, it's going to be a draft where it has some depth at running back, but I don't think that, you know, that Rico Dowdle keeps you from considering a running back in this draft. I just don't.
All right, we've got about a couple minutes left. Let me ask you this, mm-hmm. and I'm dying to get kind of the, you know, the internal look at this where – you know, you win two games in a row. The Giants are terrible, we all agree. But again, that was a legit right. victory over the Commanders. And so my thought is this. If you beat the Bengals on Monday night, okay, now right. can we start to entertain? Maybe this is a seven seed playoff team. Who knows, right? But from a scouting yeah. perspective, when you're the when you're the inside, when you're the football team and you're making decisions, what have you, and I'm sure you've been a part of this, how does the dynamic change when all of a sudden you went from being a team that couldn't get out of its own way to suddenly, and you saw the locker room last night, like this was a different football right. team. What do you get caught up in that? Or, hey, you got to keep your eyes on the prize and say, okay, we're still not where we need to be.
Well, you're really still not where you need to be, but get a win against Cincinnati. You know, I mean, they're struggling right now and, you know, they're just not very good defensively, but still offensively, that's, a, you know, that's a big time opponent when you look at the receivers they have and Joe Burrow. You know, if you can slow them, the problem with playing the Bengals is you're going to have to be able to score right along with them. And I don't know if the Cowboys can necessarily do that. So nope. that's a problem right there. I don't think you can necessarily score along with the Eagles. I don't think you can necessarily score along with Tampa Bay either, you know. So this thing might all take care of itself. I think you really have to kind of take this thing one game at a time. I know that sounds very cliché to say, but you really, really do. You know, you find a way to beat the Bengals, then you're like, okay, let's get on to Carolina, and then let's go on from those games on. So, you know, you get this thing back to 500. Now, I remember being in Green Bay, you know, our very first year there, we were 3-6. You know, and then we reeled off six straight victories, you know, and we were, you know, we're down to the last game of the season against Minnesota. We win the game. We're in the playoffs. You know, we don't win. And we finished 9-7. And, you know, and that was kind of the end of that. But it gave us the momentum going into the, you know, to the next year. And that was really with, you know, with Brett Favre being a rookie quarterback and starting, you know, and I'm not going to say Cooper Rush is Brett Favre or anything like that, but, you know, we really had an inexperienced quarterback playing and, you know, but we're able to win games because of defense and, you know, things like that. So, yeah, you do think about those things. You think of, you know, but you're going to have some things kind of happen, you know, in front of you. And, you know, hey, if it comes down to the last game of the season against the Commanders on a home game and winner get in, I mean, that's all you can ask. But I just think it's going to be really difficult for Dallas. You know, look how they're scoring points, though. They're getting, you know, they're getting special teams touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Defensive touchdowns. They got one yesterday. I mean, geez, they've gotten 27. Well, how many did they kick field goals yesterday? Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
You know, just count up the special teams points, count up the defensive touchdowns. And then that's kind of where you're at right now. That's kind of how you're winning games. And, you know, the offense, I think the offense is still,
you know, they're still going to struggle with Cooper Rush at quarterback just because I just don't think he could do enough to put you over the top. He's not going to do anything to F the game up, but he's surely not going to do anything to be the big difference maker that you need.
Until he turns into Michael Vick and tries to run him in.
Yeah, that's when we all start scratching our heads. That's...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, but that's, like I say, this team is, you know, the loss now against the Saints looks really, really bad. You can understand the losses against the Ravens and against the Eagles. You can understand those. But the Atlanta loss looks really bad. Saints loss looks really bad. You know, those are the things you're kind of having to deal with right now.
All right, 20 seconds or less.
Houston loss. Houston, yeah, we'll see about Houston.
I was going to say that, well, they're gonna lose in the first round anyway.
Sure.
All right, 20 seconds or less. There's no Cowboys this weekend. Your middling LSU football team plays a middling – I mean, we might as well just call it the middling bowl between OU and LSU. What the hell is Brian Broaddus doing with the rest of his weekend?
Yeah, that's it's a great day for college football tomorrow. And then, like I say, LSU, I need to find a way for LSU to beat Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm trying to get this LSU bunch of mine in the Cotton Bowl this year.
Okay.
Is what I'm trying to do. So, yeah, I need them to find a way to win this game.
You absolutely do. Look, let's get LSU to the Cotton Bowl. I'm trying to get KU to the first serve, reserve pro, or whatever the hell it's called, first responders bowl. They played at SMU Stadium, right? You know, like me, you, and like four other people go to the game. So we'll have our you know, carte blanche to sit wherever we want.
Tailgate out there.
Let's
do it. Tailgate. If we, I might wear a Kansas sweatshirt out there if you let me.
Look, I've got a back in my OG days, I've got like a double XL KU football shirt. Okay, so you've got
I'm in.
It's
all
you. It's a Nike shirt. We don't even wear Nike anymore. So all right,
don't even wear Nike. We're Adidas. Yeah,
I know. Don't even get me started, Brian. Glad to hear your car's running. Glad to hear you got the oil change. You got a new battery. Things are looking up for the automobile they brought us. Have a fantastic weekend, my friend.
Appreciate you, boys. Thanks again for filling in, and happy holidays to everybody out there. We appreciate you guys.
Always the one, the only, Brian Broaddus. All right, coming up next, 2 hours in the books, if we do say so ourselves. We've got a lot to get to in these next 2 hours. We caught up with the two rookies, Cooper Beebe, Tyler Guyton. What say them when it comes to the future of the O-line for your Dallas Cowboys? Well, we'll let them tell it. Don't go anywhere.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.